Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
Do you know, all week, the Lord has been dealing with me about a season of blessing and judgment coming. And the word picture is the Ark of Noah. Do you remember Noah's Ark? Remember that little story? He was told to build the Ark. A few football fields worth of lumber. It took 120 years to build. But God floated the ark. And the Bible says in Genesis 7:11 that it rained 40 days and 40 nights, and the fountains of the great deep were broken up. God brought the waters of destruction. Listen, there was deliverance through destruction. The waters of destruction lifted the ark higher than it had ever been before. We're coming into a season, loved one. Don't be afraid, because the arks are rising, but axe heads are sinking. If you're an axe head, whoops. All we have to do is just push you into the water and you're just going to sink forever. If you're an ark, good news, good season. But I want you to see the twin realities, the ark of absolute safety. It was impossible that Noah and his family were harmed because the Lord sealed them in. Yet that utter image of safety is resting immediately upon the waters of destruction. Isn't God interesting? He brings deliverance through destruction. He drove out the Canaanites from the promised land through destruction, and his people moved in. We're living in a strange season, beloved. Don't misinterpret what you see. And I found an interesting story. It's the story of the widow's mite. I know you were probably reading this just this morning. Mark 12:41 to 44, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Let me give you a little context. It's 3 days after Jesus enters triumphantly into Jerusalem. It's another 3 days before he is going to be arrested and tortured to death for our sins. And the last visit he makes to the temple is this opportunity where he comes in with his disciples, and he comes into the temple of Herod to an area known as the Court of the Women. It's a court that just preceded walking up 15 steps into the holy place. And there the treasury was. In the Court of the Women, there were 13 trumpet-shaped receptacles. They sort of were narrow at the top and very wide at the base. And each of the 13 trumpet-shaped receptacles were ordained for certain types of things. And that's where you would pay for certain offerings when you were here to offer pigeons or doves. Because you couldn't afford anything else, you would put the money in there. And so the 13 trumpet-shaped receptacles were like the treasury. And Jesus tells a story prior to this text. And this is what I want to focus on. Let me just read a few verses. And he said to his beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at the feasts, which devour widows' houses for a pretense and make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. And then the text we just read. And then he sat over against the treasury, and we see the woman come in. Right? So in these trumpet-shaped receptacles, it doesn't take much imagination to realize you are in the loudest section of the temple. Because the rich people brought their gold and silver coins, and it was like people that take the coins to Vaughn's Market, to that machine where you've been saving nickels and dimes and everything all year, and you're going to cash out. All right? Every trumpet sounds like that. Jesus said, look, so before he sits down to watch the show, and that's what he's doing. He had just recently cleansed the temple a few days prior. And that was noisy with the sound of animals and tax collectors, everybody with their coins. And they were so loud in the court of the Gentiles, nobody could even hear to seek God, the non-believers. Now he goes into the court of the women where he used to teach all the time. And he sits over by the treasury. And the first thing he says is, watch out for people with a religious spirit, because these guys wear long robes. They want you to look at them. They have people go before them blowing trumpets to announce that they're on the way to do a good deed. They wear religious outfits, Jesus said, and they pray loud prayers so that everyone can hear. They love greetings in the marketplace. They had elaborate greetings that took over an hour to show proper respect and deference. And that, so their whole day is gone by the time they walk through the market. And Jesus highlights them and he says, and they devour widows' houses. And then, well, he sits down, pause there. In the next chapter, chapter 13, verse 1, as he's leaving the temple for the last time, by the way, this is the last time he's going to sit in the temple and ever until he comes again. And that temple will be long destroyed. But on the way out, chapter 13, verse 1, as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples said, Master, see what manner of stones the buildings are here. And Jesus said, do you see the great building? There will not be one stone left upon another that will not be thrown down. So when we hear of the widow's mite, we usually think, oh, he's going to teach on giving, right? The rich gave out of their excess and leftovers, and the widow woman gave all that she had, and so you now must give until it hurts, all right? That's not at all what the story's about. What the story's about is Jesus says, watch out for religious hypocrites who devour widows' houses. And then he sits down and watches as all the rich are pouring their money. Ding, dong, 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 dong. I mean, the loudest place in the temple. The billionaires are pouring all their coins in. And it's just clashing with the tin of the trumpets. And you can imagine, right? And then in the midst of this, a little widow woman, and she only has 2 coins. This is so embarrassing to think. She has 2 bronze mites. They were called lepta. Together they were worth 1 quadrans. That's the smallest Roman coin. A lepton was the smallest and least valuable coin in circulation in Judea. It was worth about 6 minutes of the average day's wage. It was 1/64th of a daily soldier's pay, a denara. So they gave in of their excess in order to make the trumpets rattle. Why isn't he impressive? And it had a narrow neck at the top and a wide at the base, so it took a long time for the rich to put their king. It's getting louder. Trumpet number 7 is blasting everybody out, you know, and then all the trumpets are going, all 13 of them are going. And in the midst of all this comes this destitute woman who the people giving all the money had just devoured. Jesus said, remember I told you about those that devour widows' houses? There it is right there. A widow who was biblically supposed to be supported by the temple is giving at their teaching and request. These false teachers had convinced her that it wasn't God taking care of her. It's the more she gave, the more she was going to get from God. And here she takes these 2 coins. 2 coins you wouldn't even pick up on the street if you saw them. That's how little they were worth. But that's all she had. So you can't hear her little wisp of a sound putting 2 copper coins. They didn't hear anything on the soundtrack there. You can go ahead and check it. Because everything's binging and banging and blah, 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 and it's all this noise. But Jesus saw her. Jesus heard her sacrifice. Jesus saw what was going on. And Jesus is actually in lament. He's not praising her. He's damning them. He says, this is the straw that breaks the camel's back. How dare you abscond with the house of widows? You know, the Bible is very clear about widows. Let me read you a few verses. Psalm 68:5, he is the father of the fatherless and the protector of widows, is our God in his holy habitation. James 1:27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. Deuteronomy 27:19, cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. Listen to Exodus 22:22. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. In case we missed it, Exodus 22:22 through 24, you shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry. My wrath will burn and I will kill you with a sword, and your wives shall become widows and your children fatherless. And they taught her a false doctrine that she was supposed to give to the maintenance of that corrupt temple system, which was soon to be destroyed. Loved one, Jesus looks at the entirety of one of the most splendid wonders of the ancient world, and he says, "You, not one stone will be left upon another." Well, maybe people just, you know, didn't understand his mission. No, no, no. He declares, as he's blessing her, and by the way, he didn't get up and stop her. See, I would have gotten up and stopped her. Have you ever done that? You know, the thing about being in ministry, I started preaching when I was 16. I was in a meeting very early on, my first camp meeting. I was wearing a suit that was too big, and I had $200, though, in my right pocket. And at the end of the message, a young girl, pretty young girl, but she was street. She was living on the street. She came up to me at the end of the service, and she handed me $2. And said, "Please, please, I want to bless you." And everything in me, it was abhorrent to me. I got $200 in my pocket that she needs. I don't need this. But as I was about ready to rebuke her and refuse her gift, the Lord said, "If you don't take her gift and honor it, I will not use you." This will be the first and the last time. Don't you dare stop her dignity and her desire to bless. Jesus didn't get up. He didn't run over. He didn't run over and then pull a bunch of bills out of his pocket and say, "Hey, I'm the God man. I run eternity. Here you go." No, he got her. He said, she's okay. But his point wasn't to praise her so much as it was to condemn the people in the false religious system that had manipulated her, controlled her, and literally devoured her house. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. And as he's leaving, they said, "Lord, look at this temple." He goes, "It's not going to be here for long. I'm going to make sure of that." August of 70 AD, 40 years later, it's gone. The whole thing is wiped out. "Well, Pastor, that's a lovely message. Give us an application of some sort." Well, in the short time that I have, 2 points. We're moving into a season of twin realities. We're going to see the Ark of Noah and the waters of destruction. Don't be dismayed. You're safe. You're in the Ark. Axe heads will sink, arcs are going to float. So don't you ever think for 1 minute God is not in sovereign control of the waters of destruction that are coming through. Now, what they're doing to some folk, the waters of destruction, I don't want to know about. And those things are too high, I can't attain unto them, but I do know I'm in the ark. Pitched within and without with pitch, God put them in, he shut them in, you're safe. But it's going to be a wild ride, and you haven't seen anything yet. If you're looking at the culture, that's the John the Baptist of what's about to hit the church. Don't even think you understand and can interpret the waters of destruction that are rolling out. But here's the good news. All the arcs go up. All I know, little arcs, is we going up. And there's no threat, and you don't need to be frightened, and you don't need to be upset. Because, see, Jesus is sitting for the last time in Herod's temple, and they have no idea. They don't even believe yet he's going to die. He knows in 3 days he's going to be tortured to death for the sins of the world. But one thing he does do on the way out is he said, "I want you all to know I got this. I see every unrighteous leader. I see everyone that's wounded everybody. I see everyone in the name of God who will do." They had legalistic devices to get widows to convince that they had to come in. The Bible says the temple was to pay for the widows. And here she's coming in given everything she has under their instruction. Now, we've heard enough about grace to know that works don't work. Works don't earn your salvation. Giving money to God's people or God's work does not earn you salvation. Nothing you give or do equals your salvation. It's saved by grace through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But they convinced her she had to come up and throw all that last bit in. Now, we've seen that a lot, right? If you sow $1,000 seed into this ministry, you'll get what? Whatever. You'll be saved. You'll never have a problem again. You'll never have that. That's a lie. You never give to get. If you give to get, you can't have anything. If you give to give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Jesus said, it's hard to write a check when your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing, isn't it? But, you know, think about that. It's like your left hand's over here going, so anyway, and the right hand is like giving. He said, if God's leading you to do it, you give to give. Just because you give. You don't give to get. The second you give to get, you lose. It's a fine line. And the last thing he does before he's crucified, he'll never walk in that temple in his earthly life again. He says, I'm going to straighten this out just like I cleansed it the other day of the people that had cluttered up the court of the Gentiles. I know I'm in charge. Don't worry about a thing. And I'm telling you, you read about the destruction of Jerusalem in August of 70 AD. Read Flavius Josephus. It is ghastly what happened to that city. It took to 66 AD for the temple to be finished, and it's completely dismantled in 70. Oh, why? Because God will not tolerate injustice to his precious lambs. No one gets away with anything. Why those preachers are getting... No. No, God is sovereign over everybody. He'll get them. Don't worry. Trust me. He'll get them. But you don't understand. God says, if the laborer cries out to me, you're in a lot of trouble. Day laborers were people that lived literally, but if they didn't get the money that day, they couldn't eat. They couldn't feed their families. And some rich pride people, you know, some people are so proud. I heard of a man that was so proud he could strut sitting down. Ooh. That's what these religious leaders were, with a religious spirit. And here they're in charge of this whole system, which God brings to an end. Now, the church was just beginning, good news. The day of Pentecost was just on the way, and the Holy Spirit was about to come into his earthly ministry, and the church, the living organism of the body of Christ, was going to come on, take over everything. You know, I've been to that site so many times. You know what we call the Wailing Wall? That wasn't a part of the temple. That was a part of the foundation that held the platform on which the 35-acre temple was built. There is no stone. There are no stones left from the original. Like Jesus said, not one on another. Now, they push some over in the destruction that they've left in situ, in place. It's breathtaking. You can go and touch the only remaining stones that fell from the very top. Oh, there's about 10 of them that cracked the ground on the way down. But so all that's left, the Wailing Wall, is just a little bit of the foundation platform. Nothing to do with the temple other than the platform. So, you know, when you touch the Wailing Wall and you think, oh, I'm touching the temple. No, you're not. You're touching a foundation of a foundation of a foundation that held the 35-acre platform on which the temple was built. So, loved one, I want to encourage you. God is God. He's in charge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. But now back to the widow, because there is a secondary lesson, of course, in her giving of all that she had. She was making herself utterly dependent upon God. She walked out of that place, the star of Christ's show. Can you imagine? Rarely did he call his disciples over and say, hey guys, come here, come here. I'm in shock, alarm, and denial. Look at her. Oh, you're hearing his what, Lord? Ding, dong, bong, 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 bong. All the rich are pouring, filling those horns, those 13 receptacles with their millions of dollars. And I don't have time to go into it, but all 13 receptacles were used for different things. But you know what? That what she threw in was not discernible by the human ear, but God sees and hears your cries, and he will bring righteous judgment. Now, he's not going to kill who you want him to kill, and the people you think are wrong aren't wrong. You'll be wrong about every one of your evaluations in the next, give it another 3 years. You'll be wrong about everything you thought. But what you can be confident in is that Jesus sees and hears everything, and he will. He's really good at bringing vengeance, much better than you. Now, I know if we left the vengeance department open to you, you'd be like a serial killer. Lord, you give vengeance to me for 5 minutes. I know. No. God knows wonderful ways to bring vengeance, much better than yours. I know many of you, listening to the sound of my voice, you need vindication. You need righteous vindication. And as noisy as it gets, he will hear your little special might. Ding. You know, it's like, isn't it something? Whenever we try to do something, it draws attention to us. Come on, there's pride in you too. There's enough scribalness in you too. You know, we had a guy that used to pray. We called it prayer, but it was sort of prayer teaching. He would use the prayer time as we joined our, could we join hands and close our eyes before the Lord? Heavenly Father, we pray for your corrupt daughter, your alleged daughter to my left, that you, Lord, would fit. Rape! Rape! And then we had the guy that would teach during prayer. Father, we thank you that as Lepton said to Kugwan, Lepton, what? Who are you talking? In the great revival of 1869. You know, it's like he would try to teach through prayer. Loved one, it's not prayer. To prayer shame and prayer teach. Lord, as the Scarecrow said in The Wizard of Oz, who was played by Ray Bulger in the original, and the Tin Man, who originally Buddy Ebsen was cast for, but got poisoning through the spray that they sprayed on him and closed his pores, and as Margaret Hamilton, whose green makeup lit on fire and she was injured and they had to delay food. You know, shut up! That's not prayer! There's so much stuff that people do in the name of the Lord, religious posturing. The Lord says, I have nothing to do with that. There's nothing there. Don't worry about it, though. I'll deal with prayer guy and prayer teaching gal. Father, so we can pray more accurately, we lift this person to you. Oh, I've heard it all. I grew up in every wing of the church world, right? So here's Herod's temple. It looks immaculate. It looks sovereign. It looks mighty. But God says, I'm going to make it right. Don't worry. The last thing he does before he leaves for his death is to assure everyone that I'm in sovereign control of all of this, and not one stone will be left on another. But he's not hateful about it. He's just... You just never want to hear God ever say, as I live, not one stone will be left upon another. It's subtle. You know, it's like, What did he say? Peter, what did he say? What he said was, this edifice is already gone, crawling with jackals. That's what he said to the city of Babylon, the most fortified city in the ancient world. Isaiah the prophet said, I see lizards walking in your empty city. Walking over your walls. And they went, when Isaiah prophesied that, Babylon was invincible. Guess what? Can't find the bricks. When God's finished with something, it'll get done right. And you don't need to worry about it. And then this little image he showed me all week. Dennis and I were talking a few days ago. And I said, you know, Dennis, you know, a one is a certain numeral, but it doesn't matter how many zeros you add to it. You got a one and you got more zeros. God takes simplicity and he adds himself to it. Do you remember the little boy had five loaves and two fishes in the Gospel of John? Jesus says to the disciples, we got 15,000 people here. Give them something to eat. And they say to Jesus, Lord, you're nuts. If we let them go now, they can't get home. It would take 6,500 hamburgers from McDonald's to let them even have one bite of food. And a little boy that has five loaves and two fishes says, well, I have this, his little lunch. And you know, little is much when it's placed in the master's hand. I want to encourage you, don't demean and despise your gift, your talent, your ability, and what you can do this year. Don't. Little is much. A little lunch plus Jesus Christ, a lot's going to get done. And it says he took five loaves, two fishes, blessed them, broke them, gave them, and somewhere between reaching into the basket, the disciples fed. And with seven baskets left over, loved one, little plus Christ. You don't need to be strong. You know, isn't it funny when you actually get weaker in life and you don't have the strength to do the things you used to do before, you have to lean more on him. He becomes your crutch. He, you know? Like Jacob limping, you know? And people say, oh, look at that old person. Oh, no. You don't get old being stupid. That little boy's lunch plus Jesus Christ fed with plenty left over. And you know, the one example that kept coming to me It's so precious. Psalm 8:2. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. A baby's lisp. In a child's simple and innocent wonder lies the truest worship. God accomplishes the greatest things and reveals his glory by means of the weakest instruments. The little suckling here, in Hebrew, is yonek. It means a nursing baby just able to lisp. In between nursing and then falling out asleep, and he wakes up and he gurgles. God said, that little gurgle plus God slays the enemy and destroys all of his strongholds. Loved one, I'm telling you, God is going to tear down strongholds that have never moved in a lifetime. But he's getting all the glory because he's the God that uses a little boy's lunch plus him. A baby's gurgle. You know, when we think of attacking the devil, we think of Satan in the name of Jesus. You know, I go to a little place locally off Canaan, and it's an antique store, and I just got to tell you, I just love it. Some hip, really cool hipster artist has put together these cases that have crucifixes and stakes and oregano in bottles. They're little cases that are supposed to like make you invincible against vampires. They're really charming. There's one hat, and you know there's stakes around the hat and a little hammer. And I put these hats on and took a picture and sent them to the kids. I said, if my faith fails, one of these items is going to work. And now the lady's making cabinets that you open with glass cabinets, and there's oregano, and there's every vegetable. It's just charming, just charming. So I'm like the only preacher in there just howling. I think this is so funny. And the other Christians are going, that feels weird to me when I stand in that corner. I'm laughing. And if they get close to me, I'll go, do you feel something strange? But I figured, I gotta buy one of these items just to show that I'm loaded for bear. Now, I don't know what a piece of oregano does to a demon. You know, oh, wow. They don't have hearts for you to drive stakes into, so that's a little bit of a waste. And then they had like a broken watch and a piece of a broken mirror that a cat walked under the thing. It's just charming. Whoever that artist is, may God bless them. And after they're saved, may they tithe. Or before. But it isn't your strength, loved one, this year. It's your baby's lisp. It's your little simple talent or ability. Just put it in his hand. And he will multiply it. And he will get all the glory. If it's your little lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, nothing is too small. The widow's mite, my God. Do you know when she threw that in, there was spiritual warfare. You think you heard a bang in the temple? You ought to hear what that happened in heaven. When the Son of God goes, whoa, what was that? It's her and her 2 little invisible copper coins. She didn't blow a trumpet ahead of her gift. In fact, nobody saw her, but Jesus did. Loved one, your little widow's mite matters. It makes such a gong in heaven that God Almighty says, I heard that. Don't worry. I'm going to take care of all of it. They didn't need to join the zealots and try to tear down the temple of Herod. God said, it's already gone. That, you know, that's something about the Lord that's disconcerting to me. He's so calm when he declares the end of something. Yeah, this whole complex is not even here anymore. You better not come into the place anymore. I can't. There were 2 million people at this time when he's sitting here. 2 million people, and their goal was to get a Passover lamb. That's what they were doing while he's sitting in the treasury. And he sees them devour one too many widows, and he goes, that's it. You're done. You never know when, you know what? You never know what the straw is that breaks the camel's back with God. You know? It's just, Lord, look at all these people that are killing these innocent folk, and look at evil seems to prevail, and the devil seems to be Lord, and Jesus just cracks his neck. And he says, nobody gets away with anything, honey. You don't know what's going on in private. People that look like they're invincible and they're evil, you just wait. They're going to come down. I was watching a documentary on Pablo Escobar, been the richest man in the world in his day. But you know what? Stacks of cash that fill 50,000 square feet to the ceiling, you can't eat that. He and his son, when they were on the run, were burning $1 million an hour just to warm themselves. They didn't have water to drink and food to eat. Just he that lives by the sword will die by the sword. You don't even need to pray that. See, spiritual warfare doesn't need to be in the name. Oops. You know, you don't. It's God plus the baby's gurgle. God literally says, I use these invisible instrumentalities to bring down and to bring to naught the things that are. So don't demean your talent going forward in this year. Don't demean your little offering and your gift, your talent, your ability, your idea, your dream, as it may be, as harmless as a baby's. And God says, that breaks principalities off nations. God plus the gurgle. You know, I think the more we're aware of the widow's mite and its power in God's hand, the baby's lisp and God added to it, the little boy's lunch and God added to it. We leave God out of all of our calculations, and he's the most important singular fact. You know what I'm talking about. You get a bump in the road, something goes wrong, something goes sideways, and you're about to lose your mind and renounce your faith, and it's the end of the world, and God goes, it is well. I'll open the door, no one can close. I'll close the door, no one can open. Trust him. He's quiet, though, and that's disconcerting. You know when he's silent? When God's silent, we accuse him of not existing. When he starts moving, we say, how dare you impinge upon our deeds? So he's damned if he does, he's damned if he doesn't, right? So people say, well, if miracles just happened, everyone would turn to God. Miracles never turned anyone to God in the Old or New Testament. Miracles were parlor tricks after a while. They went, you know, at Jesus' meetings, you know, after four meetings, you go, did he raise any people from the dead today? Oh, he's slipping. He's slipping? Yeah, he just healed like two blind people. You know what I mean? It's like the oil's drying up. Let's go to Rabbi Shimon and support his ministry from now on. No more raising the dead. Oh, my God. Miracles never converted anyone. And then he stops them and they say he doesn't exist. You know, he's abandoned us. Then he sticks his face in and we say, how dare you? Well, that's a catch 22, 23, 24. So when you may think he's quiet looking at the news and seeing people suffering in the world, God has it all in his hand. He's sovereign over everything. The Bible says he puts up one and he puts down another. You go, God couldn't have put that person. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's sovereign. He's in control. I had a friend of mine come up and was talking about the news and situations in the world. And I reminded him, I said, you know, who put Babylon over Nebuchadnezzar? Who put Nebuchadnezzar over Babylon? I forget. Who was that? Oh, that was God. Who put Cyrus over Persia? Oh, that was God. Who put Alexander over the Greeks? Oh, that was God. I said, maybe God's God. I'm just thinking. And he went, you know what? I forgot about that. I said, I saw that. God is in charge. Not even the devil. Now, he claims to be. He's accusing you day and night, telling you he's God. The devil's always saying, I'm going to kill you, and then I'm going to wipe you out, and then I'm going to humiliate you, then I'm going to... It's just like, you're a dog on a leash. Shut up, dog. You got a muzzle on. Jesus, he said, if you want to reverence someone to the apex, reverence God. Not the person who can just kill you and leave you dead, but the one that can kill you and seal your fate. If you want to fear somebody, Jesus said, fear the living God. Listen to him. We've heard what the devil said. We've heard what others have said. Let's hear what the Lord says. He is the God who brings to naught the things that are. And as we move forward, don't be dismayed. You can say, oh, it's the Ark of Noah, man, resting on the waters of destruction. No problem. God's got this. He's in control. The day Jesus said the temple would be utterly left in ruins, no one believed what he said. The disciples laughed, no doubt. But in August of 70 AD, it was gone forever. My God. So whoever the Messiah was, he came to earth before August of 70 AD. Because Malachi 3:1 says, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. That was destroyed in August of 70 AD. So there's no other Messiah. Oops. No temple, no Messiah. But do you see how in control Jesus is? He's sitting there in the court of the women watching the show, hearing the banging gongs of the 13 trumpet shaped receptacle. Sometimes I fear our prayers sound like that in heaven. Things aren't always as they appear. I remember President Teddy Roosevelt once met some constituents from Ohio, and he had his shirt sleeves rolled up, and he said, come on down. I want to go down to the barn while we talk because I've got some work to do. So he takes his pitchfork, and he goes into the barn he's going to take the hay and throw it up in the bin, and he looks up, and he goes, John, where's the hay? And he goes, well, sir, I haven't had time yet to throw it down since the Iowa delegation came through. Things aren't always as they appear. Herod's temple seemed invincible. It wasn't. Seemed forever. It wasn't. And the God-man who made it all and holds it all together by the word of his power in 3 days is going to give himself over to being tortured to death on a cross and be deemed cursed of God. But he would rise triumphantly on the third day. What he's willing to go through for us. He just says, trust me. Trust me. It's a season of blessing and judgment. Now, that's not anything you're doing. We're just watching. Can you imagine sitting in the court of the women eating popcorn, watching that show? You can't really fellowship in there because you can't hear anything above the din of the millionaires. But God will make it all right. What you can't hear because of the noise of others, God hears every time. What you don't see in a crowd, he sees every time. Take heart, loved one. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now for your precious lambs right now. Those who have been oppressed, abused, taken advantage of, for whatever reason, lost things, seem to be tyrannized. I thank you, Lord, that you are a God who will take up the case of the widow and you will hear. The elements themselves will cry out to you. And shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? You will. I pray for your daughters, Lord, that have been through any kind of loss, abuse, marginalization, have been kicked down, have been locked out. That, Lord, you are righteous, and you will make it right for her. I pray, dear woman of God, the Lord is God. The Lord says, vindication is in my hand, and I will bring it. You don't need to bring anything. In fact, pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father, which is in heaven. And the very Lord who allows the rain to fall on the just and the unjust will make it right. Precious brothers in the Lord, I extend my hand of blessing over you and your fortunes, your life, your career, your finances, your strength, your health. In the name of Jesus, you have a mighty King who will give you strength. As your day goes, so shall your strength be. You serve a mighty Lord who is in control of the universe. And Lord, we pray right now that hope would blow through this place. Encouragement, refreshment. We can take a breath and go, oh my God, it may be a season of judgment, but by God, where the ark's going up and the axe heads will sink right where they need to be, but God will make it right. Take heart, it will be made right. I hear prayers stacked up, crying out to God, Lord, vindicate me, take my side, straighten this out. Loved one, God is more than just. He's fair. And you know, if we will just put all of our sins under the blood of Jesus, they can never be counted against us. But uncovered by the blood, that's why Jesus said, if you're bringing your offering in the temple and there you remember you have aught against another, leave your gift on the altar and go and make it right. Father, we accept that you're sovereign. We accept that you're our Heavenly Father and that you will protect us. You will provide for us. You will make a way, Lord, as a father would. But in the morass of the need for healing and wounds that need to be shut, we pray, Lord, that you would pour your grace out in a new way. Bring healing to sons and daughters of the living God. Heal the daughters of Eve. Heal the sons of Adam, Lord. Put them safely in an ark that will rise higher through the waters of destruction. We welcome your deliverance through destruction. And we know that as sure as Noah and his family were unable to be harmed, You will help us safely arrive to the other side. Thank you, Lord. The ark will rise, it will float, and then it will land safely in its destination. We extol your goodness and mercy and your sovereignty in Jesus' name. Give him some praise right there, loved one. Give him some praise. Yeah, that was some patty cake praise. Bless you.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.org. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of our listeners like yourself. Also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.org. God bless you.